Let's do the Vishnu Sahasranama. We're on Abhokta. That's number 143. You should have a new page for that book, Tanya. Repeat after me. Bhokta.
Bhokta.
Nominative singular from bhoktra. Bhokta. Okay. Like karta, kartra, karta. Bhoktra, bhokta. So bhokta. Purusha rupena.
Purusha rupena.
Tom.
Tom.
Prakritim.
Prakritim.
Bhunkte.
Bhunkte.
Iti bhokta.
Iti bhokta.
Bhunkte, that A drops, same sandhi rule. So purusha rupena, tom. Prakritim bhunkte iti bhokta. Say that.
Purusha rupena tam prakritim bhunkte iti bhokta.
Iti bhokta.
Iti bhokta.
You read it, Kiki, and then everybody repeat after Kiki.
Purusha rupena.
Purusha rupena
tam prakritim.
Tam prakritim.
Bhunkte.
Bhunkte.
Iti bhokta.
Iti bhokta.
Okay. Purusha Rupa, I mean, as the Purusha. Literally, it's in the form of the Purusha, but what they mean is as the Purusha. And often when the third case, you want to say by or with or by means of, but the third case is also used in what we call ittambhave. Ittambhave means it's kind of giving the nature of something. And so that's not always going to be translated as by or with or through. And so sometimes it's as or in the form of or whose nature is like that or as a definition. So here it says, Tom, second person, feminine singular, prakritim is feminine singular, I mean not second person but second case, accusative. Bhunkte, he enjoys that prakriti as the Purusha. Mm-hmm. In the form of the Purusha. As the Purusha, he enjoys the prakriti. So if you remember in 142, bhojanam, bhojanam is the food, right? So he's the bhojanam, and he's also the bhokta. He's also the eater. So you can take that as Bhagawan literally is all of the food. There's verses like in the Taittiriya where the rains come, you know, the rains come and the food grows from the and wets the earth, and the earth transforms into food, and the food is eaten by the jiva. And then that food, which is eaten by the jiva, is digested by the samana, which is the one of the pranas, right? So Bhagawan is both the food and the one who digests the food. So that's taking it. He's the eater and the eaten. He's the one who digests the food, and the one who is the food, and one who also eats the food. It also, you can also take it in terms of what we call the samishti, total, zishwara. Bhagawan is the bhojana, that which is eaten, which is being experienced by the sense organs. Mm-hmm. All of the sense organs, the sense organs themselves, and the karmendriyas are all taking in the prakriti, right? So the one who experiences the prakriti in the form of the purusha, the consciousness, which the prakriti enjoys, really. The whole prakriti, the whole maya upadhi, right, because of sattva pervading the maya upadhi, enjoys consciousness. So that's why Ishwara is both the maya upadhi and the consciousness which the maya upadhi enjoys because of sattva. So here he says, using that as the enjoyer, Bhagawan is not only the bhojanam, means the whole prakriti, the whole maya upadhi. He's also the one who enjoys. Bhuj means to eat, it also means to enjoy, right? So he's also the one who enjoys as the witness. He enjoys the prakriti. So if you look at back to bhojanam, it says, bhoja rupataya prakritihi maya bhojanam iti uchate. Bhagawan is the bhojana, in terms as maya, which is the very prakriti, all of the nama rupas, the whole manifestation of the creation, as in the form of the bhojya, that which is being experienced, that which is being enjoyed. And now in this one he says, he is also the bhokta, the enjoyer, because in that, he enjoys that prakriti, that maya, which is prakriti, tam, prakritim, as the purusha, as the conscious being, right? The conscious being in the prakriti. Remember, if we say Ishwara, there's only Brahman, but once you say Ishwara, there's the maya upadhi. But the maya upadhi is known. Because of the sattva, the maya upadhi reflects consciousness. So that's what we call the purusha, Ishwara. Ishwara, the body of Ishwara is the maya upadhi, the knownness of the maya upadhi is the conscious being, Ishwara. Do you understand? So, bhojanam bhokta. Let's see if there's anything special here I wanted to say. Swamiji says it this way. Bhojana can also mean food for all the sense organs. It is maya or prakriti that is modified into this world and is eaten, enjoyed by the sense organs. As prakriti is non-separate from Bhagawan, it is Bhagawan alone who is bhojana, the enjoyed sense objects. Again, it is Bhagawan alone who is the bhokta, enjoying the sense objects as the purusha. Right now he's taking purusha as the individual jiva. And again, as prakriti resolves into Brahman, the Lord is the bhokta and prakriti is the bhojana. So you take it cosmically in terms of the sameshti upadhi, and you can also take it in the individual jiva is the purusha. Also Brahman is the purusha as reflected in the creation. Everybody see? So that's bhokta. Next one, 144. Sahishnuhu. Hiranyakshadin. Sahate. Abhibhavati. Iti. Sahishnuhu. Sahishnuhu is the one who can endures everything. You know, the one who has Titiksha, the one who is able to endure, but not endure in a problematic way, like, oh my God, well, I can endure this, I guess. It's not that. It's in the sense of titiksha, because the Atma is not doing anything to endure. It's just that the whatever is taking place within the Maya Upadhi, right, does not and cannot affect the Atma. And so even if you take, Swamiji says both of these that belong with the Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, these are demons, these are asuras who cause so much trouble in the world. So these asuras, you know, that are, they're like a Hitler, you know, these horrible asuras that are causing so much pain in the world. Bhagawan is Sahishnuhu. He endures them, but also they use this, abhibhavati. He also conquers. He endures, he bears it without any weight on himself. But he also conquers them over time, which is, I love this understanding that Dharma always wins. It's just because Dharma are the laws of the creation are Dharma. It's the Rita. It's the laws of the creation are not going to go away. The adharma is working against the laws of the creation. And so that's what we mean by adharma. It's pushing within. It's going to have a backlash. Adharma always has a backlash in terms of messes and pains and trials and tribulations. But it's the dharma that is always going to outlast the adharma. And in fact, the results of a dharma themselves are pain, is pain, which is part of the dharma. See what I mean? But the adharma is always going to be what mows down and works through the adharma. So that's from the standpoint of Ishvara, from the standpoint of what's going on in the creation. From the standpoint of Brahman, there's really nothing to bear. So whatever is happening in the creation, I remain always welcoming, always the same. So that's also very helpful for us. Whatever's going on in your mind, whatever pains are there, whatever adharma is there, whatever is being worked on, whatever problems you get yourself into, Bhagavan is always there in the same way. Your Atma is always there in the same way. It's not going to repel you or change on you. It will always be there in exactly the same way. And so you can always correct. You can always correct. You can always come home. You can always take care of your problems, and Bhagavan will still be there exactly the same way. What were you going to say?
Dharma. I was going to say, does dharma always have a positive connotation, or dharma is just the law? So which then, I think you said that, and encompasses adharma as well. Because if you do a bad action, then there will be a bad result, and that is dharma as well.
Yeah, there's many different standpoints that you take dharma. If you take dharma as rita, it means dharma. Bhagavan is nothing but dharma, the laws of the creation. The laws of the creation... That's why, Ishvara, we had this earlier. Bhagavan is called Janardana. Janardana is the one who punishes the people.
Mm-hmm.
Punishes what kind of people? The adharmis. Not because Bhagavan being Sahishnahu, Bhagavan, Brahman, is not changing in any way to punish anybody. He's always the same.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Maya Upadhi, that dharma is very punishing for the ones who go outside of the dharma, outside of the laws, going against the laws. That going against is also part of dharma, but what it does is create pain. A dharma creates pain. Dharma, you're just naturally in harmony with Ishvara, so there's no pain there. You're not rubbing against anything. When you make that rub, the result of the rub, is fire. It's something that is hurtful. And so we look at that understanding. I mean, I find that understanding so useful, because when you're experiencing pain, say emotional pain, or especially emotional pain or pain in your mind, that pain is giving you a message that something needs to be brought back into order. That's how I think of it for myself. If there's some emotional pain there, something needs to be brought back into order. And I can't control, as a jiva, I can't control the behavior or the things that happen in the world that are coming my way. But my attitude toward the things that are coming my way, I can control. I can bring my attitude, I can bring my knowledge to that. And so when what's coming my way is causing me pain, then, especially if you have knowledge, you can sit with that in a way that actually becomes welcoming, and you become free of that painful thing that's coming towards you.
So when we say change our attitude or change the way we,
hold it,
that thing, is that, can that be said in a different way as saying, be more and more real? So just accept reality, more and more reality of myself and the world.
That's part of it.
More into reality, right?
Yeah, that's Ishvara Srishti,
right,
where
you allow
this to, instead of the Jiva Srishti, so you can talk about it in terms of Ishvara Srishti and Jiva Srishti, where Ishvara Srishti is kind of the prayer that goes along with that. Say, Bhagavan, I want what you want.
Yeah.
And so I'm not resisting this world. I'm acting in this world and doing what needs to be done. It doesn't mean that you're lying down and being walked over. But I'm accepting this as Ishvara and then responding in an appropriate way, in a helpful way. The Jiva Srishti is where I'm reacting and getting hurt and all of that. So I learn how to bring my mind back to Ishvara Srishti. So that's the way
right.
that you're saying.
Right.
But sometimes that is not so easy. That doesn't work so well. And so when it doesn't work because your mind is still hurt or reacting. And so for us, there's different levels of ways to work with that if it's necessary. You know, if you bring your mind back, if you bring the Jiva Srishti back, and then there's this hurt Jiva Srishti there, that the buddhi now, it doesn't resolve it to bring it back. Sometimes just bringing it back to Ishvara Srishti is totally enough. Sometimes you bring the Jiva Srishti, these projections, you bring them back, and then there they are hurting, you know. And so when they're there, now you, the buddhi, you're in Ishvara Srishti now, because your buddhi is in Ishvara Srishti as a tool that you have in the present that you then can work with the Jiva Srishti, right? You can work with the Jiva Srishti, and you can do inner child work. You can do dialogue. You know, if it's a person that you're having trouble with, you can do all of these different things that we've learned. You can do dialogue and all of that. And then what you can do after you've taken care of it on this kind of samsara level, you can bring in your knowledge, and your knowledge that you bring in goes kind of like this. In reality, I am whole and complete as I am. It's not just words. Recognize that the ananda that I'm looking for from this person or from the situation doesn't belong to them at all. What I'm looking for is wholly, completely my own nature, you know? Because a lot of the pains that we suffer in our relationships, especially our intimate relationships, they can hurt you more than anything else, really. Familial, family relationships, because that's where your heart is. So close. And so when these kind of hurts are there, you can do the inner dialogue so you're not bypassing. You can have to be with it on that level. But then, to bring in your knowledge and remember that the ananda, now that you're trying to get from the situation and from that person, you know, doesn't belong there. The ananda is your own being. Your wholeness is your own being. The world can't give it to you and it can't take it away either, you know. And so then bringing yourself back to that reality that you've already realized but kind of forgotten for the moment is so helpful, you know, because no matter what anybody does, they're not touching that and they can't touch it. And in your prarabdha karma, there are always challenging times. It's just that's this loka. Some are little challenges, some are really big challenges. That without your knowledge, it's really meant to cause dukkha. It will cause suffering for sure. It's meant to. But yourself is never suffering. That's sahishnuhu. It's never suffering. It's always whole. It's always complete. It's always full. It's never affected in that way. And your mind is never away from that. Even if it's being all agitated and all, it's not away. So it takes like a split second to come home. We just don't want to bypass because the little ones inside, the unconscious, all of these things, they need to be handled on their own level. So I wouldn't bypass that. But in the end, just to complete it, you have to come home and remember who you are and the source of the ananda, and that nothing can touch it. And then just abide there for a moment. And then you don't have the angst of feeling that this person who is behaving this way and is a family member close in my life is going to ruin everything. Or whatever we do, you know? Because there's people in your life you can't get rid of. and then the thing is that and they can be hurtful, you know. That's what Bhagavan does. That's how he gets you. Mm-hmm. He sticks somebody in that you can't get rid of them. You know, and you're attached. Because family. And so that's where real strength is. Strength of knowledge is there, but it becomes a really beautiful sadhana. So when your mind's taken away with that kind of hurt, it's good to do the whole process. Spend a little time. And spend enough time to feel yourself becoming free. And then it's so nice because then you can be with this person that you can't get rid of anyway. Yeah. 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 Should we say our prayer? Swasti prajabhya paripalayantam nyayena margena mahimahishaha go brahmane pyashubhamastu nityam loka samastha sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu parjanyah prithivi sasya shalini desho yam kshobarahitah Ramana santu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha Sarve santu niramayaha Sarve bhadrani pashyantu Ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet Asato ma sadgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityorma amritangamaya Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om